1 John chapter 1, if you want to turn there, we'll be in 1 John today. I'll give you three different scriptures you can go to, so you can go ahead and find them if you'd like. 1 John chapter 1, we're also being 2 Timothy, and also the book of Matthew, Matthew 23. So this week I've been, I was asleep, I guess, a couple of weeks ago. Everybody sleeps, right? Or somebody y'all not sleeping right now because of inflation and who's running our country. Oh my God. Give me some melatonin. 1 John chapter 1. So I was asleep and I just, you know, in between that spot where, you know, you're fully asleep and you're half awake, you know, somewhere in between there, where sometimes you'll just get these amazing ideas and you're like, you wake up and you totally forget them, or you wake up and you write them down, or you wake up and say, what was that thing I thought of, you know? But it's somewhere, I don't know why, and I don't even know how to prove it, but somewhere in between fully asleep and half, you know, almost awake, there is a spot right in there, right before the alarm clock goes off and makes you get out of bed, that God can say stuff to you. And I'll get to what I feel like he told me here in just a second. But I just had this great revelation about, you know, keeping your house clean. And that's the title of the message, keep your house clean. I know it might seem a little simple today, what I'm ministering, but I'm here to tell you there is revelation. If you will hear from God, hear from the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you, God will show you and open some doors in your mind, and he will change your focus to where he will eventually get all of you instead of just part of you. You don't want to be a half committed. I mean, we've read in the Bible where it talks about being lukewarm. You don't want to be lukewarm, right? You either want to be hot or you want to be cold. God's like, you either go all the way or you're just going to be somewhere on the fence, right? And if you're sitting on a fence that's got barbed wire on top of it, it ain't very comfortable, right? Amen. Don't sit on the fence, especially if there's barbed wire, amen? Because it's not comfortable. It's not comfortable being somewhere in the middle. I'm here to tell you, when you are all in for Christ and you're all in for God, I'm telling you, you will see miracles happen in your life. If you're sitting on the fence, you're going to be one of those that's always wondering, well, God, I pray, and I go to church, and I tithe, and I believe that, you know, you sent your son, but I don't see anything happening for me. You ever been there before? It could be, I'm not saying this is always the case, but it could be that maybe you're a little bit lukewarm in some areas. Maybe you haven't fully committed to the tithing or the giving or the money part. Maybe you haven't fully committed to not hanging out in places where you're not supposed to be hanging out. Amen? Maybe hanging around with the wrong people. There's nothing wrong with hanging around wrong people because Jesus did it. Amen? It's when you're doing the things that they're doing that it becomes a problem with God. But if you're hanging around wrong people with the intent in the heart to see them saved, that's a different story. But when they are rubbing off on you, you start to look like them. And that's what God does not want. So you got to keep your house clean. Now, we all know that the Bible says that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So when I'm talking about your house, I'm talking about the innermost man. Amen. Amen. This is your temple. This is your house. God loves to dwell in houses. That's why there was tents in the desert. That's why God had, you know, the holiest of holies. That's why they built the temple. Because back then, they had to have physical houses. They didn't have Holy Spirit living on the inside of them yet. Because the Holy Spirit was not given until Jesus left. When Jesus left, he gave us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit dwells where? In the house. Which is you. And he wants to stay there. But when you offend the Holy Ghost don't stay there. He goes away until you start getting things right again. Now, does that mean he leaves your life and goes away and says, you know, you want to live like hell, go live like hell. He doesn't abandon you. The Bible says he'll never leave you nor forsake you. So if he never leaves you or forsakes you, even though you may not be walking correctly, because I did it for 10 years, but he was still there. And I still remember every time I was doing the wrong thing, I felt conviction. If I wouldn't have felt conviction, then I wouldn't have been saved. But I know that I was saved when I was a kid. But when I started doing all the wrong things and started living the wrong ways and was not committed to God, I knew that it was God telling me. I didn't know it was the Holy Ghost. I didn't know what the Holy Ghost was till I was in my 20s. I didn't know there was one. I didn't know what His purpose was. How do we hear from the Holy Spirit? Who is He? I just knew He was like the third of the Trinity. I didn't know He lived on the inside of us, talking to us, ministering to our spirit, telling us what's right and what's wrong. I didn't know any of those things. But now that I know, guess what? I'm held responsible. So if I offend the Holy Ghost, guess what? I'm held responsible. 1 John chapter 1. Let me get there. Here we go. First John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, we have seen with our eyes. You know what he's saying right here? He's saying, guys, listen up. I've seen it for myself. I was there. Which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Now, knowing what we know now, looking back, thinking about Jesus, can you imagine what it must have been like to walk with the man who created the earth? Can you imagine what his thoughts were when he was just walking around saying, yeah, I created that. Yep, oh, I know him. Yeah, I know him. I know what he did. Can you imagine walking around with the creator of all the universe? That's what we have seen and declare we unto you, verse 3, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus. Now let's focus on verses 1 through 3 for a second. They testify that they witnessed Him and touched Him. If something means something to you, don't you want to tell people about it? I mean, have you ever figured out a way to like get ahead or make money or something, and you're like, man, I just got to tell everybody about this. It's going to sell, you know? Then you all of a sudden become this champion marketer you didn't know you could do. You didn't know you were a marketer or a salesperson, but all of a sudden you've got this amazing product, and now you want to tell everybody about it. When something amazes us, when something is important to us and special to us, we should tell people. I mean, the way God designed us, and the way He lives on the inside of us, He designed us to tell. He designed us to market Him. Not so that we can sell Him and try to dupe somebody into something, but because we're trying to sell eternity here. Do you realize that when you tell somebody about Christ, that you are selling them their eternal salvation? You are telling them something that's going to change their life for eternity. They may not even know that eternity exists. They may not even care about eternity. For all they know is that, you know, we just live, we die, and that's it. And there are people that believe that. But what's on the inside of you has to be spoken. It has to be told. God did not design you to be like Corey calls a fat sheep, where you come to church and you just sit here and you receive and you receive and you receive and you never give anything that you have on the inside of you. God should have known better than, you know, to do that with me, because I'm not very good at talking to people. We're good at talking to our buddies, aren't we? We're good at talking to our friends. We're good at hanging out with our friends and being socialites when we're in the wrong places at the wrong time. Amen? We're all okay with doing it that way, but when it comes to telling somebody about Christ, all of a sudden we don't know how to talk to people. Amen? Ooh, man, God just tells you like it is. Jesus he don't mess around. He's like, it is your job as a Christian to take what it is that you know and take it into all the world. That's why Jesus said, go ye into all the world. He didn't say, you know what, keep this to yourself. This is the secret between us. And don't tell anybody, because it's just you guys that are going to get to go to heaven. We don't care about them other people. They're all going to hell. We're just going to let them die. Amen? No, He said, go ye. So that's an action, and He's talking to you. Verse 4. And these things we write unto you, that your joy may be full. Woo! Woo, man, anybody ever had no joy? I mean, you walk around sad, upset all the time. You don't like your job. You can't stand being around the people that you're around. Let me tell you something. You're always going to be around people you don't like. That's why a lot of people don't come to church. You know, all them hypocrites. There's hypocrites everywhere. There's hypocrites at your job. They're at the convenience store. They're at the mall. They're at the movie theaters. They're everywhere. We never stop going to those, though. But people will stop going to church because there's hypocrites there, right? Man, if a hypocrite can keep you from going to church or keep you from doing things for God's way, then you're not a very strong person. You're weak, and you need to be made stronger. Amen. He said, this is said, I preach this to you today that your joy may be full. You have to look at joy as a cup. You know, I heard that, you know, you've heard the saying, you know, are you half full or half empty? Well, it depends if you're filling it up or pouring it out. Amen? So is your joy full or is it being poured out? So are you half empty or are you half full? If you're half empty, you're going the wrong direction. Amen? But if you're half full, that means you're doing your best to fill it up with what God's trying to put inside of you. Fill in your cup. Your cup should be a cup of joy. You should name your cup joy and say, I'm going to fill it up today. And even if it goes down a little bit because you're struggling and your cup isn't quite full, then just start filling it up again. And the only way to do that is to say out of your mouth what's on the inside of you. Amen? Your cup has to be full. He said, and these sayings write we unto you, and here's the reason why. So that your joy may be full. Not half empty, but full. He didn't say it was going to be full all the time. He just said, we tell you these things because we want you to be full. Verse 5. He said, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declaring to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. That is God's marketing statement. He said, this is who he is, this is what he stands for, and this is what we tell you. Now go tell others. Amen. Verse 6. Now watch this. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, okay? If we say that we have fellowship, but we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So if we say our house is clean and we lie to ourselves, we walk in darkness, okay? Verse 7, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses. So we're talking about cleaning house today, right? He cleanses us from all sin. So God is our house cleaner. You have to be sensitive. This is something that man does not do a very good job of in these end times. The things that are happening right now, the Bible says that the devil in the end times will do his best to wear down the saints. Does that mean you're not saved? No, it means that he is coming to discourage you. You ever been discouraged? Like you felt like nothing's going your way? You wake up on the wrong side of the bed. Where is the wrong side of the bed? I have yet to figure that out. Is it the part that's against the wall? You know, if you live in a room, you know, if you're single, you know, usually you have a bed against the wall. You don't, married people, we put it out in the middle of the room, you know, so both of us can get up, go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, right? But the wrong side of the bed is the part where I guess you can't get out. I don't know. But let me tell you something. There shouldn't be a wrong side of the bed. When you get up in the morning, it should be, hello, devil, I'm coming for you. Hello, Holy Spirit. Thanks for being here. Amen. We have to be sensitive. Let me tell you how hard it is to be sensitive in these times to sin. We have all been desensitized. Every single day, it doesn't matter what you do. We're all on Facebook, right? Because we're the old people, right? All the old people are on Facebook. And the kids tell me that if you're on Facebook, you got to be an old person, right? Because that's where mommy and daddy always post everything about the kids and all the cheerleading things and the rodeo things and the this and the that. And the kids are over there like, Mom, Dad, that's a terrible picture of me. Get it off. Take that picture off because I look terrible. And they're over there on Snapchat and Instagram because, you know why? Because the parents aren't there. We have been desensitized through magazines, through television, through social media, through newspapers. Everything you do in life, the people you're around, we have been desensitized and everything is acceptable. And I'm here to tell you that it is hard to be sensitive to sin in the society we live in. You have got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, ministers to our spirit the things that are right and the things that are wrong. We have to be sensitive to our own sin. And we also have to be quick to repent. You sin right then, immediately say, oh, God, forgive me. I heard, I don't know, who's the, Stephen Furtick, is that him on television? Oh my gosh, he had some amazing revelation the other day. I was listening to him, it was just like it wasn't even a sermon, it was just like an intro to or an outro to his show or whatever. He was like, what is the crime rate in your heart? If your heart was a city, what does the crime rate look like? And what are you going to do about it? Well, we know in the world right now, crime's just like, hey, you want to rob a bank? Go ahead, no big deal. We're getting rid of all the police officers, amen? But what's the crime rate in your heart? What does it look like? And the most important question is, have you recognized it? And the second most important question is, what are you going to do about it? Judge yourself, I wrote down, judge yourself so that that judgment doesn't come on you. Because I'm here to tell you, if you think that just because you're a Christian that judgment will not come on you, I'm here to tell you, the reason why Sodom and Gomorrah fell, the Bible says, is because God said that judgment had reached its max. It had manifested to the max. And he said, I'm going there to find out if it's as bad as I hear that it is. And that's why judgment came on Sodom and Gomorrah, because it was as bad as it sounded like in the spiritual. God went down and visited that place, and that place was destroyed, except for the few. Abraham pleaded and begged. He's like, there's just five. If there's five, please, if there's five in there. He knew Lot lived there. It's a picture of the rapture. Sodom and Gomorrah. God spared the ones that chose to walk in righteousness. He said, get out of here, because this place is about to fall down. And they left. And they went to another place. So here's the revelation I got the other day. In the middle of in between, waking up and being asleep, right before the alarm clock goes off. I was having just this thought, about God being a house cleaner. Because I was thinking about all these scriptures, about cleansing your house, keeping your house clean, blah, blah, blah. This is what I wrote. It might be simple to you, but to me it's pretty profound. If God is the house cleaner, then Jesus is the mop and the blood is the number one soul disinfectant on the planet. I mean, we use disinfectants, right, to clean houses, right? The blood is the number one soul disinfectant, and Jesus is the mop. And he's trying to clean your house. But you know what's great about God is he doesn't come in and just make, and just say, hey, I'm going to clean this sucker and you're going to deal with it. The great thing about God is he gave us all a free will. We're not robots. We're not forced to worship him. We're not forced to serve him. He said, I am here and I will clean your house if you'll let me. I mean, does a house cleaner just show up at your house and say, I'm going to clean your house whether you like it or not? No, what do you got to do? You got to... Yeah, I'd like to get my house clean. Can you come over and clean it? How much you charge? Okay, yep. We're cleaning the house today. All right, come on over. The house cleaner will never show up at your house and say, I'm cleaning your house and I'm going to clean it for free. That's it. I'm going to do it. A house cleaner has to have permission to come into your house. Which is why the Bible says in Romans 10, chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, it says to confess with your mouth. You have to make a conscious decision out of your own mouth and ask God to come in. He has never, y'all have heard me preach this before. The reason the tree was in the Garden of Eden was because God wanted to give us a decision. You can choose to follow me or you can choose to do this. The tree was for the purpose of giving man a choice. If the tree would not have been there, we would have been robots. We're serving God no matter what. But the tree was a choice. It's just like the tithe. It was the part you weren't supposed to touch. Amen? Does God have all of you? Or do you have 100% of yourself and not giving back to God anything? The tithe, the 10%, was the tree that we were not supposed to touch. It's a choice. Tithing is a choice. Receiving Jesus is a choice. Walking in God's way of doing things is always a choice. And He will not clean your house unless you give Him permission. Corey has been preaching about peace. And this is why I was thinking of going different directions today. And I was thinking, you know what? He's been preaching about peace. So I wrote this down. We need a clean house to have fullness of joy, to live happier lives. Amen. If you can clean your house, then you will have fullness of joy. Because if your house ain't clean, then there's things in there that are causing condemnation. Because I'm here to tell you, the devil will do everything he can to discourage you and tell you you're a sorry, no good for nothing, rotten dirtbag, just fill in the blank. But if you can clean your house, the Bible says you can have fullness of joy. And if you have fullness of joy, you can live happier lives. And if you're living happier lives, then you have peace. Amen? Because, that's what Corey's been preaching. He's been talking to us about peace. People needed peace last week. We prayed for people who needed peace. There is nothing like having peace in your life. But there's also nothing like having discouragement in your life. Because when it's there, it's so recognizable because it's always screaming at you. Amen? Peace is never screaming at you. Peace is always like, hey, just be still, man. Just calm down. But discouragement and the devil and condemnation is always there yelling at you. Don't listen to that peace stuff. You don't have peace. There ain't no way you got peace. You got $100 in your bank account. There ain't no way you got peace. Don't be listening to that trash. That Bible ain't true. Blah, blah, blah. The devil just keeps slamming you and he's yelling at you and he just keeps telling you you're nothing and you can't do it and you'll never be good enough. You ever been told that? Oh, we'll never get ahead in life. We'll never be good enough. You ever heard that before? Did you grow up hearing that? Until you went to a church like this one, amen, that says, no, you are good enough and you can do it. And you are the child of the Most High God. Now, if you're a child of the Most High God, the one that made all the universe, created all the gold and silver, then we obviously have an advantage. Amen. Amen. We have an advantage over the world. We need a clean house so that we can have fullness of joy to live happier lives so that you can have peace. But it starts with you cleaning your own house. Matthew chapter 23. Oh, this is good stuff right here. Oh, this is so good. Watch this. This is so good. Oh, I love it when Jesus just lays it down and just pours it all out and says, take it or leave it. Chapter 23. I'm going to read the Amplified because he has a few points in here I just want to really hit on. Verse 25. Now, before you get to verse 25, if you read up above, you can do it on your own time, you read up above. Jesus is really letting them have it, right? If you think Jesus was just Mr. Lovely and, had the little bow and arrow like Cupid, he wasn't that at all. Now, he could be, though. He was those things, but he was also the type that would just tell you like it was. Verse 25. He says, great sorrow awaits you. So in verse 25, it says, in your King James, it says, woe unto you. So the Passion says, great sorrow awaits you, religious scholars and Pharisees, you frauds and imposters. You ever just walked up somebody and said, you're a fraud, you're a fake, you're a phony? You got to be real careful with that because that can really bring in a spirit of bitterness and hatred. You got to be real careful when somebody, I'm not going to say that you're not going to say those things to people when they are those things, but if they don't listen to you, you better go get some witnesses, amen? Like the Bible says, go to your brother if he has wronged you or did blah, 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 and just go to him personally. If that don't work, go find somebody that agrees with you, amen? He says, great sorrow awaits you, religious scholars and Pharisees, you frauds and imposters. You are like one who will wipe clean the outside of a cup or bowl, leaving the inside filthy. You are foolish to ignore the greed and self-indulgence that live like germs within you. You are blind to your evil. Shouldn't the one who cleans the outside also be concerned with cleaning the inside? You need to have more than clean dishes. He says, you need clean hearts. Woe unto you, you hypocrites, you liars, you imposters. Now, we could walk into Washington, D.C., I guarantee you right now, and be totally honest with a lot of people there. Amen? And say, you're a fraud, you're imposters, blah, you know. And I have to remind myself that God loves them too. Amen? You know, Cupid. Jesus was willing to offend people because he is obsessed with cleaning houses. Jesus loves clean houses. And I'm sure that by the time he got to verse 25, that he was basically saying, you know what? I have watched you guys. I have listened to y'all. I've seen you, what you do. I have listened to your words. I've had it. Woe unto you, you filthy hypocrites and liars. And then he just spills the beans right there, amen? Like you've heard me say before, Jesus don't beat around the bush. He just burns the bush, amen? He just burns the bush right there in front of you. I want you to think about, you know, how much time we spend cleaning. I wrote all this down because this is a revelation to me, and I had to think about it myself. Think about how much time we spend cleaning the outside of ourselves based on these scriptures compared to the inside of ourselves. Now, I want to give you some examples. Do not get offended. Okay? Cleaning the outside of ourselves. How much time we spend making the outside look pretty? Showers, makeup, fancy clothes, dry cleaning. You can throw dry cleaning in there. Haircuts, mani-pedis, shaving our real estate, amen, and working out. How much time do you spend on those things? Let me ask you a better question. Let me ask a little deeper. Think about how much we spend on those things. But we have a hard time saving dollars to go to a Jesus conference or buying a Bible. Their Bibles are so expensive. They are expensive, aren't they? They're not cheap. They're, you know, $100 good one now. I think I paid $80 or $90 for mine. We'll spend money, we'll spend time, we'll go to the work. I mean, workout, you know, now this is the fitness generation. Amen. Everywhere you look, you can't look at Facebook anymore without, you know, they don't even show things that your friends post anymore. It's just advertisements. And there's fitness personalities on there. And I'm not trying to discredit any of it because it's all very important, okay? I'm not saying that these things are not important because you can't show up looking like a bum that lives down by the river, amen, and try to minister to somebody because they're going to look at you and say, if Jesus looks like that, I don't want no part of it. I'm not discrediting it at all. It's all very important. The makeup, you know, I dry clean my clothes, starch them, etc. I spend time doing all those things, but how much time do you spend in the prayer closet cleaning yourself compared to all these other things that we spend so much time and money on? We spend so much time and money making ourselves, and I work out. I'm just, you know, I'm into fitness too. I lift weights. I don't run, okay? I don't like to run. We played a faculty basketball game for a pep rally for the kids the other day, and I'm telling you, I went up and down the floor two times, and then I finally got across half court, and I said, hold on a second. I had to dribble the ball. I suck in air, man. But I lift weights. I work out. I shave my face. I get haircuts. I spend a lot of time making the outside look pretty, and I'm still working on it. I'm still working on it, you know. But how much time and money do you spend on those things? But when it comes time to going into a private place to hear from God, you can't go in there for 5 minutes. I know it's sobering to think that because I used to be the world's worst. I always thought, you know, and I'm not discrediting this either. I always thought that just driving down the road, listening to ministry on, you know, 92.1 K-Love was good enough. Well, I'm here to tell you it ain't. It ain't good enough. Okay? just saying that I do this or I do that, it's not good enough. I'm not saying it's wrong, because it's good. We need those things. You need to be driving. I mean, hello, you drive in Austin, Texas, you need K-Love on the radio, amen? People honking at you. I mean, here in 1869 the other day, somebody went flying by me. I'm pulling a trailer. I'm going the speed limit plus 2 miles an hour. And this dude goes flying by me on the corner down there where the high fence is, on that long corner where the high fence is. That's not very safe. And then the guy in front of me pulling the lawnmower, he's so freaked out that he just pulls over. He's going 50, and he just goes to the ditch and says, I'm getting out of the way. I'm going to get out of the dude's way. He didn't slow down or nothing. He just got over fast as he could, and the guy went around him. You need to be praying while you're driving down the road here in Austin, Texas. Where I'm from, if it took you 20 minutes to go somewhere, you can bet that every day on the button, it would take you exactly 20 minutes. Here, it might be 20, and by the time you get there, it's 30 or 40. Amen? So you need some love in the truck, right? You're going to need more time than that. You're going to need prayer time. You're going to need Bible time. You're going to need worship time. You're going to need praying in the Spirit time. And you're going to need quiet time where you sit still and listen to what God's trying to tell you. It ain't enough anymore to just barely get by. God is not looking for the barely get byers. He's looking for the warriors. He's looking for the people that are willing to go to the front lines. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I'll start closing with this scripture. It says in verse 20, he says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purges himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. God is trying to honor us if we will give him all of us. He says, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. If there's something God's trying to do in you, it's for the purpose of spreading the gospel. It ain't to make you just better, it's to make the collective better. You've heard me preach this before. In church, we are a collective, but we are a collective made up of a group of individuals. We are individuals, and the stronger the individual is, the stronger the collective. It has to be that way. You have to do your part to make the collective stronger. And unlike our government, we're not going to take something from somebody and give it to the collective. We're not going to come try to take, God is not trying to take stuff from you so that he can give it to the collective. He's trying to use you to make you stronger as an individual so that the collective can be stronger. He says, verse 21, and then, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions try to avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. Now back up to verse 20. In the earth there are many containers, I wrote, and we have to be the honorable ones. Y'all remember growing up how mom always had the fine china? Remember that? And it had its own worshiping cabinet. And there were lights on it, and there were lights in it. Because it is what? This is fine china. Son, we have to honor the fine china. And if you break it, I will kill you. And have no remorse. Y'all remember those days? Had the fine china. It only comes out at Christmas or Thanksgiving. It is fine china. We only bring it out twice a year. I'm like, why don't we eat this? Why don't we just use it every day? I mean, if it's so great and wonderful, why don't we just splurge a little bit? Bring it out every day. But no, this was fine china. made by the finest craftsman in a country somewhere we've never been to. You are supposed to be the fine china, the honorable vessels. And your body should be that, and you should treat it accordingly. Amen. Pretty it up on the outside, but make it awesome on the inside. Go work out, go find the nicest clothes, wear the fancy makeup, amen. There's nothing wrong with looking great, and you should. But the reason we do it is so not so that we can show off who we are, but we can show off who God is. And what's on the inside of us has to come out, because I'm here to tell you that if the inside is looking great, then the outside starts looking great. Because it has been scientifically proven that if the inside ain't doing so good, it starts showing on the outside. That we've been working for years. Women have been trying to master makeup for years to get rid of the wrinkles. If the inside looks good, the outside will glow. If you heard my sermon last time I preached, I talk about glowing. It matters what's on the inside, because if the inside is not healthy, the outside will show it. And there ain't no makeup on the planet. I know we try to do it with the makeup, and I'm sure it will make us look okay, but it ain't going to fix it. It ain't going to permanently fix it, I guarantee you. The inside has got to be awesome so that the outside looks great. Amen? Prepared for every good work means your house must be clean on the inside so you can help others clean their house. The whole purpose of you having a clean house is so that you can help others clean theirs. And I'm not saying, again, that the mani-pedis and the fancy clothes and all that, I'm not saying that that stuff's not important. But if looks alone could get you saved, you'd just have to walk up to the lost and say, hey, look at me. Ain't I awesome? Don't I look great? Don't you want to be saved? Yes, I want to be saved. It's not what's on the outside. It's what's on the inside that the Bible said that comes out of your mouth that gets them saved. It's not what they see on the outside, even though the outside is wonderful. You want to make the outside great. But what's on the inside has to be fixed, because if you can fix the inside, what comes out of your mouth starts sounding a lot better. I deal with this all the time with my kids about the words they say, and I hear it all the time. Do you remember growing up? I used to say the same trash. You go to a track meeting, and all the kids are like, oh, I'm not going to do very good today. You know, I'm just not very good. I'm so tired, and I didn't eat good. My stomach hurts. I'm like, shut up and get on the blocks and run. What are you talking about? If you're not any good, why do you come to practice? Why do I come to practice? We don't need to practice. We just need to go to the track meet. Put you on the blocks, they go. Fire the gun and run. You hear it all the time. You know why? Because they're not mature in Christ. They're little kids. All they know to say is the things that pride tells them to say. Oh, I'm not going to do very good this week. I'm just so tired. They always say that. You know why they say those things? It's because when they fail, they don't look like they were really trying, and they just expected to fail. You should not expect to fail when you do something. Amen. If you're going to put your time into it and run laps around that track and go to the track meet, you might as well say, I'm going to smoke everybody on this track today. And even if you finish last, we'll get them next time. Amen? Amen? What's wrong with that? But they all huddle around each other and they talk about, I'm just not so good. I'm not very good. I can't run. I can't do this. I can't do that. You can tell the ones that are amazing because they expect to win. Amen. We have athletes on our basketball team, and I'm telling you, never. This little kid, if he was taller, bigger, I guarantee he'd start as a freshman at the high school. This kid can play basketball as good as anybody. You never hear that kid say anything about how bad he is at basketball. But you'll see him in that gym shooting, he'll shoot 50. He made 7 in one game. In a junior high game, that's pretty dang good because you don't have that many minutes. Made 7 in one game. Just make it rain, baby. Make it rain. That's what they say. Make it rain. Splash, you know. Boom. Never hear him talk bad about himself. But the ones that are mediocre, you'll hear them huddle around themselves all the time talking about, oh, I'm not going to do very good this week. All right, get the heck out of here and I'll scratch you. No. You have got to change your conversations. I tell my kids this all the time, and sometimes they'll say stuff, and I'll say, quit saying that trash, quit talking like that. You've got to be the police of stupidity in your life around you. You've got to be the police officers. And if you got kids, you have to be there for them. You have to tell them when they're saying the wrong things. I mean, that's what we are. We're children of the Most High God, right? And God's going to tell us, hey, that's the wrong statement. That's the wrong conversation. You got to change that. You can't be saying that and be successful. Won't happen. We have to do that for our kids. And if we don't, God's going to hold us accountable for not raising them correctly. And trust me, at a middle school, I see the ones that ain't raised correctly. I guarantee you. Because we have integrity talks in class. We have integrity talks in sports and all that. We have those talks. And in their minds, they think, oh, it's okay, I don't need to be good. And you can tell the ones that are, you know, that are leaning more towards Christ than the ones that aren't. We have FCA there, and there's 60 or 70 that show up. That's amazing. But you better be the police of your kids when you hear that stupidity come out of their mouth, because it ain't nothing but pride. It is pride saying, if I say that I'm not going to do very good, and then when I don't do very good, then I won't be let down. It's kind of like preparing people for death. We don't need to prepare people for death. We know that death's going to come. We know that death comes for all people, okay? We need to prepare ourselves for life. And if they die, they die, and if they live, they live. That's fantastic. But we don't need to prepare for anybody dying. We know what happens. We know it's sorrowful. We know we're going to cry. We know that there's going to be, you know, sorrow and memories and all that stuff. But we don't need to prepare for death. We know what death is, but we know what the flip side looks like, and it's life. Quit preparing yourself for defeat and change your conversation. Quit saying that you're not good enough. Quit saying that you're never going to make it. Quit saying you're never going to get ahead financially. Quit talking that trash. Quit saying that stuff out of your mouth. Start saying that, you know, even if you're not confident enough to say it out loud in front of a bunch of people, and somebody comes over and says some stupid curse towards you and says, oh, you're this, that, and the other. Just turn around, you know, even if you're not ready to say it out loud, say, I break that curse in Jesus' name, because I've done that before. But, you know, when you say that, boy, they perk up. What? You must be a Jesus freak. Okay, yeah, you can label me as that. That's fine. I'm okay with that. But if you ain't confident enough to say it yet, just turn around and walk away and say, I break that curse. And you just start praying in the Spirit. Just walk away. Because you don't have to listen to that trash. Nor do you have to receive it. We are confident in who we are. I am. I don't know about y'all, but I'm pretty confident in who I am. I'm confident in my manhood. I don't care what people say about me. I don't care what they think about me. I do care. Like, I do try to, you know, promote integrity and promote that I am an integrous person, and I do try to walk in righteousness. But do I walk away when they, you know, do I walk away caring when somebody doesn't like me? Absolutely not. And neither should you. You cannot live your life based on what other people think about you, or you'll live just like they say that you are. And if you live like they say that you are, then you are a slave. You are in bondage. Because now you have to live up to everything they're saying about you. And now you've got to talk down about yourself. And you've got to talk down how you're never going to be good enough. You're never going to be smart enough. You're never going to have enough money. You're never going to drive nice cars. You're never going to have a nice house. You're never going to have all those things. Because somebody else said and trained your mind to think that you will never have it. If that happens to you and you start living what they say, you're in bondage. Take the handcuffs off. And start living like this Bible says that you are. It's like Corey says, this is a good book. Maybe you should read it. Do you think I liked reading? It wasn't until 8 years ago, that I actually read the Bible all the way through from beginning to end. I'd read, you know, parts of it, blah, blah, blah. I just sat out one day and said, you know what, I'm going to start right here. Right now, today, and it took me a year. Some people read it through in 30 days. I don't have that kind of time. Some people can read it through in 30 days. It took me a year. Did I like reading growing up? Absolutely not. Only book I read in high school was The Outsiders. Did everybody have to read The Outsiders when they were growing up in English class or ELA or whatever? Everybody had to read The Outsiders. Everybody. I don't know why. They try to get us to, to promote that stuff in school, and there's some stuff in them libraries, I'm telling you right now, I would not tell a kid about. I don't see the Bible in that library. But I'm here to tell you, I was not a good reader. I hated reading. As a matter of fact, if you know my testimony, when I first became a teacher in the early 2000s in Georgetown, I could not stand up and read out loud to kids. I couldn't read. I couldn't read. It was a block I had. And you know what God told me? He said, well, if you would read, you would get better at it. So guess what I chose to do? I started reading. Because why? I wanted to cleanse the inside of this. So I bought The 7 Secrets to Success by John Hagee and started reading. And then after I started reading, guess what? Guess what happened? I actually got better. Now I can stand up here, a preacher who thought he wasn't called to preach and read. Sometimes people tell me I read too fast, and I know I do. I read too fast sometimes. But I'm here to tell you right now, if there's something God wants to fix inside of you, if you will just do it, it'll work. And reading the Bible is one of the most important things you're going to do for yourself. Take the time to do it. Spend the money. Get a nice Bible. Get something. If you can't see very good, you want a big Bible, get the big print. If you like the little Bible, these are too heavy because they are. It's like carrying around a 45-pound plate that you put on the bar and you're working out. It's heavy. It ain't light. You know why? Because there's a lot of words and pages in there. If they made all the words big in the Amplified Bible, that book would be that big. It's big. It costs a lot. Yeah, some of you might have to save up to go buy one, but it'll be worth it. It's worth it. It's the greatest book on the planet. Sold more books than any other book on the planet. And it's the least promoted. Every head bowed and every eye closed. So, if you're new here, or if you're not new here and you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you an opportunity right now to do that. If there's a decision that's important in your life, it would be this one. It's the most important decision you will ever make in your life. There is no decision on the planet that is more important than receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You know why? Because your eternity is at stake. Your eternal destiny is at stake. If you don't receive Jesus as your Lord, the Bible says there's a place called hell that is reserved for you. And then, the devil will try to promote it as something that's fun. You'll get to go there and hang out with your buddies and play cards, like Corey says, and do all those evil things, those sinful things that you've always wanted to do. It is not like that at all. The Bible says it's a dark place. You'll be tormented for eternity. But if you receive Jesus as your Lord, the Bible says you'll get to go to a place of life, a place called heaven, a place of eternal salvation. No more sickness, no more disease, no more crime. No more having to clean your house because God will just clean it for you every day. There's no sin. There's no discouragement. There's no condemnation. There's no sadness, no disease. There's no COVID virus. There's no flu. There's no sickness. So I offer this opportunity today to you. If you're not saved, here's what you have to do. Like we talked about earlier, you have to make a conscious decision right now to receive Jesus as your Lord. And the Bible says He'll come in and clean your house. Does that mean you're going to have it all figured out? Does it mean your house won't get dirty again? Of course not. You're not going to be perfect, of course. We're working on perfection, but you're not going to have it all figured out. But it says He will help you. He'll send the Comforter to be your helper. So if you've never received Jesus today, I want you to get serious with God. We're not going to ask you to come to the front. We're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to do any of those things. All we want you to do is just pray a prayer with all of us. Just want you to pray a prayer and receive Jesus as your Lord. And I would urge you to be serious with God right now if you're not saved. Get serious right now with God. All I want you to do is pray a prayer and repeat it. Repeat after me. And everybody's going to pray it with you. Say it like this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I believe you, Jesus, died on the cross for my sins and arose again on the third day. I receive you, Jesus, as my Savior. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you received him for the very first time today, if you received Jesus for the first time, you were serious with God, got serious and said, you know what, I receive him. I'm going to pray this prayer. I'm going to mean it. I'm going to receive Jesus for the first time. If that was you, on the count of three, I just want you to raise your hand. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to see who it was. Just see if there's anybody in here that did. On the count of three, you'll raise your hand. Just acknowledge to me that that was you on the count of three. Ready? One, two, three, go. Is there anybody? Anybody? All right, look at me. Very good. Well, you're all saved. That's fantastic. Now that you know that God is the one that will keep your house clean, you better get serious with him, because now that you know, you're held accountable. And I know that's sometimes tough to take, but you are held accountable for everything you do on earth. So get serious with him. From now on, if you're saved, get serious with God in everything that you do and go forward with him. Amen? Amen.